Welcome to the Social Expedition. Fueling your digitally social experience. Produced by LunaWeb, this is show number 39, July 29, 2010. Well, hey, wait, so this was wrapping up July already.
Yes, it is.
You know, and here we go into August, which I don't know, for some reason I always associate August with like a lot of heat. I don't know if there was a story, Ozer, or a play or something like that called August Heat. Maybe it was a movie.
I have no idea.
Everybody in it was sweating the whole time.
Sounds gross.
Which you know, the way to take Memphis after a while is if you just kind of resign to the fact that if you're going to be outside and you're just going to sweat, and it's like it's okay, and everybody else is sweating too, then it's really not that bad. Well, hey, anyway, so I'm Dave Barger.
I'm Ansley Phones.
And our special guest today is going to be Elizabeth Kawine.
Of the Memphis Music Foundation.
Very good. So we look forward to having on her pretty soon. And then also she's our guest next week at the breakfast.
August 4th.
So yeah, if you haven't made plans already to join us there at the breakfast, it's 7:30 in the morning. We get started and we mix for a little bit. And then 8 o'clock, we talk about a little bit about what's going on. Then we have our guest speaker do a presentation anywhere from like 20 minutes to half an hour. And then we spend the rest of the time up until about 9:30 breaking into groups and having group discussions on what you want to talk about. This is actually crowdsourced topics that you're able to vote on and list when you first get to the breakfast.
Yep.
It's kind of an interesting format.
And that's going to be at the University of Memphis Holiday Inn, as usual.
Yeah.
And you can RSVP at meetup.com/social expedition.
They get rave reviews on their breakfast, which is another one of the reasons why we kind of settled down on that place. And man, it is an awesome breakfast. So anyway, our focus on this show is really just going to be just general social media. There's not a particular, like, aliens like we did last time, nor is it about music, although we do have a little thing in here I see about MySpace. So there's a lot of yays and boos going on right now with social media, and I think that we see that a lot. A lot of things that people like and, like, look forward to, and then plenty of other things that people look at and hear about and go, man, why are they doing that? Boos. So, heading on down the list, looks like we have a yay here, and this first thing that you're talking about, this what is it?
A bump app. Well, it could be a yay.
Did you bump my app?
I haven't gotten to... Dave. I am not an iPhone user, but apparently you can now download a bump app application, and it will allow you to bump iPhones with another iPhone user and instantly exchange Twitter, Facebook, and LinkedIn info, as well as compare your calendars.
Oh, I see. Okay, so hopefully you're bumping somebody you know.
Well, you are in physical proximity to them, so.
Yeah.
It's like a physical, like a fist bump, but with your phones.
Really? I wonder if somebody could just, like, walk by and, like, without you knowing it and, like, bump your phone. Okay.
I feel like that would be a very unlikely scenario.
I know that on the iPhones, there's been a bump application on there for a while. I think for, like, just exchanging business card type information.
Oh.
But I didn't, nothing to this extent where, you know, you get all this other stuff, you know, the Twitter and the everything else going on, so.
Well, we'll give that a yay.
Yeah.
Our next yay goes out to Amazon and Facebook, who have kind of joined forces. Amazon has implemented a beta Facebook integration where you can log in to Facebook through Amazon and it will give you a list of your friends with upcoming birthdays and gift suggestions based on their likes. It'll also give you suggestions for you based on your likes.
Very nice.
And I can search, you know, my sister's got a birthday coming up, so I searched for her name and my friends, and it gave me some suggestions based on her Facebook preferences, and it was pretty neat.
No, I've not seen this at all. So how do you experience this? What do you do?
Well, when you log into your Facebook, it's kind of like any other application where if you're signed into Facebook elsewhere on your browser, you know, it'll say, is this you? Can we access this information? And you say yes, and then it...
Wait, is it an application or you just go to Amazon and...
No, you just go to Amazon and click it and, like, the little pop-up comes up.
Okay.
And so it asks, you know, can we access this information, your friends, you know, your preferences, your interests, things like that.
So we're using, like, Facebook Connect. So instead of logging into Amazon, click the Facebook Connect button instead.
Well, you still have to be logged into Amazon.
Okay.
Through your Amazon account.
Okay.
And then...
Well, that's cool.
It brings up all your friends and some suggestions for you. And it's pretty neat.
I have to check that suggestions. Out. Yeah, I don't normally go to Amazon, the website. Mm-hmm. Although I go to Amazon frequently on my Droid to buy music. That's all through Amazon. And then on the iPad, I go to Amazon through the Kindle app to find books. Because I got to tell you, for me, call me old-fashioned or whatever, but there is so much information on one Amazon page. I have a hard time getting around and finding stuff that I'm looking for. And so I often get frustrated there. But that's cool. I look forward to checking that out. So so import your friends and kind of let you know their preferences. And that's good because, man, it's always a stressful thing to buy gifts for other people to try and figure out, hey, what did they like, you know, what they'd like, what they'd be interested in. Do they already have this kind of thing? You know, sure, so-and-so is a Beatles fan, but of course they've already got this, don't they?
Exactly.
You know, you just never know. So I can see where this could be really handy, especially for Christmas coming up. You know, the other thing I think would be good too is I would like to be able to buy people digital ebooks, you know, so that somehow they show up and you can download them, mm-hmm. or, you know, it gets you the code or something like that, instead of just a $5 coupon or a $15 coupon or that kind of thing. You know, actually get you the text. Because there's a lot of times, you know, friends, clients who have expressed interest in certain things, you know, for nice books, that would be good to get them an e-version of it. Anyway, so I'm with the wish list thing. That's good. I look forward to checking that out.
That's a yay as well.
Yay for Facebook and Amazon. On getting together for that.
But we have a few boos for Facebook, too.
Oh, no. Of course, I guess, you know. Their staff is growing, and with the growing number of staff, there's new features, and I don't know what percentage of the new features are boos, but some of them obviously are.
Well, the big one we want to give a boo to, and this actually hasn't even affected us, but we read that there was certain users that Facebook is testing taking away the most recent option mm-hmm. on their news feed. So up at the top of your news feed over on the right side, there's a little top news text that you can click, and that's kind of the default option where you see the items that most people have commented on or liked. But then next to that, there's most recent, and you can actually see the real-time most recent results of, you know, all of your friends' Facebook updates and pictures. And they've actually in some users' profiles taken away that option. And we're not fans of that, because we like that option.
Now, I like the ability to see recent items.
Right, so we don't like that Facebook has taken that option away from some people.
You're in the same boat?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
I definitely like being able to switch over. I prefer top news in general, mm-hmm. but I definitely like having the option to look at the most recent news.
I always look at the top news just to see, like, just out of curiosity, what is showing up as top news. Just out of curiosity. It's just like, oh, wow, okay, so that's showing up as top news. And then also, I know people that you have a deeper connection with, like my wife, you know, we're Facebook pals also. And so her stuff will show up in top news. You know, it gets ahead of the line privileges. Mm-hmm. So speaking of, Facebook recognizes that. And that's like, okay, I like that. But I like recent news as well. So I'll get up or in the morning if I have time, or if I don't, until lunch or so, and I'll scan back to recent news until I get back to the night before.
Mm-hmm.
You know, and kind of just kind of catch up. It's nice and, you know,
chronological.
Chronological, thank you. So that you know, okay, yep, okay, I recognize that. Read that last night. Okay, I'm done. You know.
And you miss a lot less. If you take the time to go through most recent news,
yeah.
you'll pick up everything, whereas top news, you miss a lot with top news.
Sure, absolutely. And it's like, okay, you know, I'm not into the whole big popular thing. So anyway, so I'm glad they're just experimenting, but that kind of unnerves me as well, is that they're just getting into people's accounts and taking features away, I guess, just what, to see if they react. It's like laboratory animal testing or something.
They haven't even said why they're doing this.
We should start squeaking and, like, you know, peeing in the corner or something like that. You know what I mean? I mean, just, gosh. God, Facebook, what's up with that? Yeah. I don't know.
So that's a boo.
And here's another boo. While we're on boos for Facebook, there was an article somewhere out there I read about the ability now for Facebook page owners, if people have liked your page with a like button, that they are now able to reach out to you somehow with interruptive type of messaging.
Hmm.
Yeah, I didn't like that at all. And in fact, I saw some people said, I'll never click a like button again. And,
like, you know, a pop-up?
No, but later on they can, like, you know, either send you a message inside of Facebook or send you something that shows up in your feed. Just because you liked something.
On an external website.
Yeah, on an external website. You know, the good old like buttons. The billions are served a day now. And so, yep, let's stay on the boo thing real quick and switch over away from Facebook and talk about Google. Google, who's not so evil, evidently. But there's an article on TechCrunch that just came out, and it's talking about how Google is starting to eat Yelp alive. So they're taking Yelp's content. They have an agreement to do that, which gets Yelp a lot of traffic, but now Google is kind of doing the same kind of thing themselves. And they're pushing down the Yelp results on the searches. And instead of that, they have TripAdvisor and other type of searches coming up higher than Yelp, while Google's doing this. And so, you know, they made Yelp an offer to buy them last year for, you know, who knows how many millions of dollars. And Yelp said no. You know, so I guess now Google's like, fine, we'll just eat you alive. I don't know. That's just not good business practice. It's a horrible example about how to run a business, particularly right now, in this day and age, where so many corporations are under the microscope for being punks. You know, this is definitely a punky, evil thing to be doing. So I'm not real happy with Google at the moment and don't know why anybody would trust them later on, unless you know, okay, we're going to get all we can out of Google before they either buy us or eat us.
Yeah.
Maybe that'll be the exit strategy, be eaten by Google. You know.
We've got one more boo and one more yay really fast.
Really?
It's a boo slash yay.
Yeah?
There was a study that came out recently showing that only 1% of the population checks into Foursquare more than, or a location-based service more than once a week, and almost 85% of the population just has no idea what these services are. Mm-hmm. And so this survey is recommending that businesses do not bother marketing on these services. And that's a real boo.
Well, who's making this recommendation again?
I mean, I was reading articles. There was one on Mashable. There was one on Wired where they were like, so don't advertise on these services. And I was really surprised at Wired and Mashable for saying that.
I'd like to know who's behind the thinking on that. It seems rather silly to me.
Well, I mean, I guess it was just a conclusion they drew from the study that it would just be a waste of time. But these services are growing, and they're getting bigger. And pretty soon, check-ins and things like that might become searchable. So, you know, just being on there could get you results pretty soon in a search engine without anyone ever having to be on Foursquare or Gowalla.
Now, you know, I'm on Foursquare, but I don't broadcast my check-ins to Twitter or Facebook. But here's an example. I just got through, I mean, less than an hour ago, telling three people about how I was using Foursquare and was eligible for a free entree, I mean, a free appetizer along with my entree just for checking in with Foursquare. So I've just now told, I told them the name of the restaurant, so I've just now told three people about Foursquare and that this particular restaurant had this special going on. I mean, okay, you know, so maybe it's organic growth. You know, it's not the big hit right now, but, you know, definitely don't ignore it.
Yeah, so that's a boo. And then a yay.
Yay.
MySpace, who we haven't talked about in forever.
But wait, you know what? Before we talk about MySpace, let's break over to the interview with Elizabeth K. Wine.
Oh.
Because she does, we do talk a little bit about MySpace. So let's jump over there.
Okay.
And it's a huge pleasure to welcome Elizabeth K. Wine, who is the coordinator of communication, primarily, and development. So, hey, welcome.
Thank you so much.
Welcome back.
Yeah, welcome back. It's good to be here. Good to be here.
So what kind of cool things are you doing over there at the Memphis Music Foundation?
Well, basically, I do all of our communications-based efforts. So I'm working on press releases on all of our social media, our blogging, our web platforms, and also doing a lot of graphic design. Anything that you see that we're putting out graphic design-wise probably came from me. So it's very varied, all kinds of different stuff and under the communications umbrella, all to kind of further our mission at the foundation.
Okay, and so tell us, okay, what is the mission?
Basically, the Memphis Music Foundation is an economic development nonprofit, and that's really the operative word. So our whole purpose is to empower and equip local musicians so that they can actually be entrepreneurs, that they can actually see revenue and income from their music careers. You know, we're not out to make the next American Idol or the next Missy Elliott or the next Jay-Z or whatever the case may be. We're not out to make millionaires. We're out to empower Memphis musicians to really be business people so that they can do what they love, create art and music, such a wonderful export that we have in this city, and so that they can do it here, make money, and invest that money back into the city. So through the foundation, we actually have what's called the Memphis Music Resource Center, which is our physical space down on South Main.
Wonderful
And that is our number one flagship program, essentially. And so that's where musicians are able to come in anytime during the week. We're also open on Saturday. Use our programs, use our computers, books, literature, information, and of course our dedicated staff. That's the most hands-on way that we're helping them. And then we have tons of other programs as well. And really just, you know, trying to promote Memphis music and our homegrown talent that we have.
Okay. All right. So these folks can come in and learn about things from the business perspective.
there's a million different things that they can get their hands into. I mean, we have workshops through the MRC. And so, like, for example, this weekend we have a workshop on intellectual property issues in hip hop. So it's really about, like, sampling and who owns a beat and who owns a song if several people contribute to it. Really important issues that an artist needs to know before they, you know, start marketing a song, because they're things that can get you in trouble and things that can keep you from maybe making the money that you deserve, or someone else making the money that they deserve off of a record. So we have workshops like that where we're really trying to bring in experts and educate our artists. We've done some on direct-to-fan marketing, which is really, you know, social media type of tools, and trying to teach them about that. And also on, you know, publicity and things that they can try to do themselves to further their career if they don't have the money to, say, have a manager, have a publicist, that kind of thing. And then in terms of just coming into the MRC on a daily basis, I mean, they might be designing a flyer for a show that they have coming up. You know, we have the whole creative suite that they can use on our computers. They might just be sending emails, doing business. A lot of our artists use the MRC as an office. You know, we have a conference room that they can reserve. It's totally free to them. If they want to have a meeting in a bit more of a professional space, they can come in and meet in our conference room with somebody that, you know, maybe a potential manager or something like that.
Sweet. So there's like a co-working space as well as a network of, I guess, staff to help them out on various types of...
Our staff are super knowledgeable. They have lots of different backgrounds in both the music industry and also the legal profession, also, you know, communications and media. So we've got experts in all these different areas that can advise them, as well as just a host of, like, literature that they can just pick up and take home. Like, a quick guide to Facebook, a quick guide to, you know, contracts, to understanding these kinds of things that they can take home and read.
Okay. All right. And so you mentioned the hip-hop type folks. So what are these, just independent people, or these bands, or these of a particular...
You name it, we've got it. We've got every kind of genre you can imagine. We've got... I mean, we just had someone sign up as a new member yesterday who's a music teacher at a local high school. So our members really run the gamut in terms of individual artists, genre, band, group. You know, we also support and work with a lot of music businesses. So a lot of our members are people who want to be managers, people who want to be publicists, and we're connecting them with other artist members.
Gotcha.
Or working with, like, for example, Japanese Goldfish is a business that is a member of ours, and they do graphic design and they build websites for musicians. So tons of different types of members that we have.
Okay. So they're not all just the actual artists.
No, definitely not. Definitely not.
And when you say become a member, is there a fee associated with that? Or
it's totally free. All they have to do is go onto our website and sign up. It's memphismeansmusic.com, and there's a form that they fill out, and then you're a member.
Then you're a member. Okay. Yep. So I've kind of wondered myself, you know, if you take a four-piece band, how many other people does it take? So you got these guys, you got these four members of the band on stage. How big of a network are there are there out there beyond these four people that it takes to pull that off, to make that happen?
I mean, the answer to that could be infinite, you know, when you start considering publicity, marketing, promotions, management, booking, all of these different areas. But, you know, what we really want to empower musicians to know is that they're, to a certain extent, they're able to get that ball rolling themselves. I mean, our hope is that they're going to reach a point of success in their career when they can no longer do those things themselves. But certainly for our musicians who are starting out, and so many of our artist members are on that kind of first level, a lot of that they can really take into their own hands, particularly with technology as it is. They're really able to reach their fans on a direct level.
Okay, so that's just like regular entrepreneurs.
Exactly.
And this is what they have to offer, is their talent, is music, is what their product is. So in this, some of what you're doing there is teaching them to use social media to help do various things. So tell us a little bit about that, you know, the artist who comes in, and where are the social media opportunities for them that you guys are helping them out with, and what are you guys encouraging them to do today?
Number one thing that we're encouraging all of our artists to do, obviously, is have a Facebook fan page. We really feel like that's the thing that you're going to get the most traction out of, in terms of being able to offer rich content to fans in the easiest way possible, and obviously it's free. So that's the number one step. We are recommending Twitter, and we have lots of literature about Twitter that we give out. I'm definitely looking, when I talk to an artist, I'm pointing them to Facebook first, because I think that Twitter requires a little bit more skill to master and to get it to do the things that you want it to do, to find success out of it. Whereas Facebook is a little bit more teachable, at least for me, with our artists right now. And I think that they can see a lot of success from it really quickly. And then there are a lot of other artist-specific social tools and ways for them to distribute their music. So that's a really important thing that we look at. Sites like Bandcamp, that they can actually offer people downloads in exchange for their email address, which leads into direct-to-fan marketing and letting them really directly email their fans with upcoming shows, things like that. So it's definitely, everything is connected every step of the way. You know, if you can get someone on Facebook, then you can get them to your Bandcamp, then you can get their email address and you've made a connection with them.
And so Bandcamp is this ready-to-go type platform that you just kind of move into, and it has a number of features already built into it.
Right.
That built specifically for
artists.
Okay.
Absolutely.
So, and you talked about email. Is that part of what Bandcamp as well?
With a lot of these different platforms, what you can do is you can say, here's a free download in exchange for your email address. Mm-hmm. So as long as you're willing to put your email address in and submit it and give it over to the artist, you get a download code. Okay. And there are other services doing that as well, but that's a really important step because knowing who your fans are is so critical. I mean, you can go and play all these shows and see lots of people and hear from people, mm-hmm. but if you don't know who that group is and you can't reach out to them and market to them, you're missing a big piece of the puzzle.
Okay. Now, MySpace did not make the headlines here. Is that something you guys are messing with at all? Or
we have a lot of artist members who have a MySpace. We're on MySpace. Mm-hmm. MySpace is not dead, but it's definitely not as relevant as it used to be.
Sure.
I think that its only relevance now really is in music. I will say that. And I still will go to MySpace quite frequently. If I'm looking to listen to music, it still gets ranked pretty high when you're searching for a band. You're probably going to see their website, then you're probably going to see their MySpace second. It still comes up pretty high, so it's a quick go-to for me if I want to sample a few songs. If an artist has a MySpace, I would absolutely recommend that they, you know, continue to invest in it and not get rid of it because they're connecting with fans there. But it's not necessarily something that we're saying is a must. Okay. I mean, I definitely, speaking from my own social kind of preferences, I wouldn't tell an artist that it was a must.
But if they were already there, would you still recommend they go ahead and establish a Facebook presence as well?
Absolutely.
Okay.
I think that is definitely a must because there are a lot of people who are on Facebook who are not on MySpace.
You know, MySpace has kind of had that reputation now for a few years that it wasn't dead, but it's still very viable for musicians and people, you know, to go there and find music that's out there.
I mean, I think the reason that's true is because the platform is very simple and you've got this great player. And in terms of just speaking as a music fan, like I said, it's easy for me to search for an artist, go to their MySpace, and quickly listen to 4 or 5 songs. So until Facebook really comes up with an equally simple alternative, and Facebook has some music player applications, there are some things out there that you can put on your fan page, but we haven't seen anything yet that is quite so simple as that platform. So we'll see.
Okay. And on the Facebook right now, are you suggesting that they get in there and just set up their basic Facebook page or go ahead and customize some additional tabs?
When I'm working with an artist who doesn't have a Facebook fan page, we're probably going to keep it pretty simple. You want to get your basic information out there. You want to get some good photography and some good links. If you've got YouTube, if you've got Bandcamp, if you've got somewhere that people can listen to music, or if you want to load a player, if you have the ability to do that, give your fans the ability to listen to your music right there on your fan page. I don't really know that for most of our artists, there's a lot of point in investing that kind of time to do custom tabs and things like that, when ultimately what a fan wants is to see some video and to listen to some music. Mm-hmm. And I think that you have to get the most utility you can with the least amount of work. And I say that because we're talking about, again, artist entrepreneurs who are trying to do all this for themselves. And so it's like, how much traction can I get from my Facebook fan page? I'm going to give the fans what they want. I'm going to point them in these directions, try to get their contact information, try to connect with as many people as I can, promote what I have going on, and be efficient about it.
Yeah, you mentioned video. For some reason right now, when you say music, I think audio only, but the video, I guess, is a major portion of that whole music experience is a lot of video as well.
That's something that a lot of our artists don't necessarily have video content yet. That's sort of a farther step down the line. But we actually, interestingly enough, have a video production summit coming up with Live from Memphis on August 7th. That's next Saturday at the MRC. That's totally free to attend. We're going to have some great panelists talking about music video production. So,
and MRC stands again for?
Music Resource Center.
Okay, great. And that's the building that
that's
you're
That's the building, yes.
Now, are you guys doing anything with Fuel Film?
You know, we partnered with them to get some musicians involved in their 48-hour film launch that happened last weekend.
Great.
And there's been some talk about maybe, you know, working a little bit more with the whole 48-hour idea, but nothing concrete yet.
You know, at South by Southwest, you know, that is it's really a three-part festival, people call it, of music, interactive, and film.
Right.
You know, and that they're all just kind of, you know, they're coming together.
Oh, absolutely.
There's so much overlap there, so I was kind of wondering about that.
Film and music are very important partners. I mean, we just saw that recently with the local production Daylight Fades that came out, Old School Pictures, and if you haven't seen it, I recommend it, even if you don't like vampires, because I'm not a big vampire fan, but I liked it. But there's tons of Memphis music in that movie, and so it's just this great vehicle, great opportunity for partnership. You know, here's this film that's shot locally, staffed locally, an incredible product, and then it features all this great music that people will be turned on to by seeing the film. So
yeah, you know, we've got a couple minutes left here, and I wanted to ask you about your perception of the usage of Twitter in Memphis, because it seems from my end over here that it's declined quite a bit, that not as many people are out there on Twitter right now. There's just a whole lot of noise going on.
I would not disagree with that. I haven't given that a lot of thought, but I would not disagree with that. I think that I've definitely seen that some people who were kind of, you know, I don't know, power players or people who were tweeting quite a lot previously maybe have fallen off a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
It's not exactly what it used to be, and there is a tremendous amount of noise. I would agree with that. And I am every day in the process of trying to remove noise from my Twitter feed.
And a lot of people don't do that. They know, you know, everybody knows, oh, just unfollow, you know, the noisemakers.
Right.
But for some reason, people are reluctant to do that.
I'm definitely not. Because, you know, Twitter for me is such a, there's a clear purpose to it. You know, I'm there for a reason. And there are people whose tweets that I want to read, but I'm not going to think every day, oh, I need to go and look at so-and-so's specific Twitter URL so I can read everything. That's too much. That's too much to ask. You know, I just want to be able to see it coming through in my feed. And so with all that junk in there, it's got to go.
So one hard question, and we'll wrap it up here. Do you have those bands connect, or these artists connect their Facebook to their Twitter so that...
Absolutely not.
Okay, very good.
I would never recommend
you.
That to them. So, no. In
Thank
fact,
you
I
for
think,
not contributing to the noise.
I think we have a Twitter guide that I wrote in the office that specifically says, don't do it. So.
Outstanding. Well, thank you very much for showing them the right ropes there.
You're welcome.
Well, and thanks for coming out here. We look forward to having you out at the breakfast.
Yes.
Week from today.
Yeah, week from today.
Oh, actually, a week from yesterday, because, you know.
It's true. This will be out on Thursday.
Yeah. So look forward to having you out there.
And
too.
In the meantime, you can follow the Memphis Music Foundation at My Memphis Music on Twitter. And you can also find us at facebook.com/Memphis Means Music. And, of course, check out our new website, memphismeansmusic.com.
Okay. We certainly will look forward to checking that out. And we'll have links. Yes, and?
You're not doing anything on Friday, you should come by the MRC because we do an open house every trolley night in conjunction with that, the last Friday of every month.
Wow.
So that's from 6 to 8 p.m. on Friday. Goodies, snacks, wine, beer, and the premiere of our new website. Plus, you'll get to see our wonderful facilities. So come on out.
Look forward to hearing more about that. I won't be able to make it. There's so much going on in Memphis right now.
That's
like the third thing for Friday night happening. But yeah, so thanks again, Elizabeth.
No problem.
Yeah, so hey, so MySpace isn't dead, and...
And... Great to talk to Elizabeth. MySpace has a new profile design. It's a lot cleaner. It's a lot nicer. The problem with MySpace was you would go to somebody's profile and immediately this music would start blaring at you and you'd see all these flashing animations and it was just impossible to read and impossible to decipher anyone's profile because you could customize it so much that it was not even worth getting on the site because it was just hard to look at.
It always reminded me of walking into a teenager's room back when I was a teenager. Music blaring, black lights, posters on the wall. Just,
exactly.
You know, yeah. Disarray.
But so yay for MySpace. Maybe they'll come back.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Hey, maybe somehow they'll just switch over and just be like a music destination. We'll see.
Well, upcoming, we've got the August breakfast on the 4th. So go RSVP at meetup.com/social expedition. Elizabeth Kaline will be joining us and it should be delightful. And then we've got the August 19th Twilight Camp And that's going to be the usual place, Davis Kid, 5:30. It is free and casual. Just show up with your social media ideas and topics, and we'll all geek out, and it'll be great.
Yeah, check out the blog.lunaweb.com. There's some recent posts up there. And then while we're talking about the Twilight Camp, we're talking right now about having the one in September here at the LunaWeb offices.
Yeah.
We were just able to host the Memphis PHP meetup group. Here, which is a group of PHP developers that are trying to get together and exchange best practices and keep each other up to date, kind of their own little tribe. It was great to host them here. And look forward to seeing them get more traction. That was their second meeting. So congratulations to those guys and Jeremy Kendall for getting these folks fired up and hooked up and getting that tribe off the ground. It's nice to see that kind of thing.
Well, until next week.
That's it. Oh, hey, thanks for listening.
The Social Expedition podcast is produced at the offices of LunaWeb, a Memphis leader in web development and social media, online at lunaweb.com. LunaWeb is a full-service web agency, meeting Memphis's online needs since 1995. Our theme music is The Year Before the War by Eric Maskell, available online at ericmaskell.com. For more information about the Social Expedition, including links mentioned during the podcast, visit socialexpedition.com. Thanks for listening.